Morning.
Wow, that's loud. Is that okay? All right. We're still in the kingdom series, and so I thought we're going to start with where we're going to end. So that's a good one to play. Okay. So that's where we're going to end, guys. Can you imagine one day when you get to heaven? And some of you look so sad about this. But you're going to run into the arms of Jesus, and he's going to hug you, and he's going to hold you, and he's going to tell you, I'm so glad you're here. I paid a mighty price for you to be here this morning. And that's where we're all aiming for, right? All right, let's guys, remember, that's the blessed side. Let's transfer the blessing here, right? Okay. Praise God. I was a bit worried about you guys. I really was. This last week, this is where we're going to go to. Jesus went up the mountainside and he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. That's where we're going to this morning. This last week, a couple of weeks ago, I had to go and see the doctor. And just to get my prescription, you know, I'm on chronic medication, and so I had to get a renewed prescription. And one thing led to another, and he said, no, you've got to go and have blood tests. I think that's one way that they make money. Anyway, one thing led to another, and when I came back to hear what the results were, he said to me, don't eat anything fatty. So I said, why? He says, do I have to cut the meat or cut the fat off my meat? Or do I have to eat more roughage? He said, no, just don't eat anything fatty. I'm wearing a striped shirt because I was told, those who know in the fashion industry, if you wear stripes going down this way, it makes you look thinner, right? If you wear stripes going this way, it accentuates something that you don't want to be accentuated. But one of the things I really discovered was that as a result of this doctor, I had to change my lifestyle. It's not the thing that I like to hear. And so one of the things I had to do was to start exercising. And one of the guys in this church, his name is Robert. He's persistent. He pushed me. And so 3 days a week, we go walking early in the morning. And anyone who wants to join us, we're starting a walking club here at our church. Hop past 7, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. Come and join us. Well, we go walking around the suburbs for about 45 minutes. And hopefully, I'm going to help make my doctor happy. I don't know about me, but I'll make him happy. But one of the things that happened the result of this was that, or the reason for this rather, is because of my inner discipline in my previous eating habits. So I have to change my lifestyle. And so Jesus, I've got it. I should have remembered it. Jesus called his disciples and appointed them to be with him, that they might be with him for a long period of time, and that he might send them out. That's where we're going to be going around this morning. Jesus called his disciples to be with him. And this is something that we sometimes discover is, it's a painful thing sometimes. But Jesus' only mode of transport was walking. And when you walked in those days, you didn't have clean feet as a result of it. But walking was the only way that he got onto a donkey and rode into Jerusalem, but that's only once. The rest of the time, he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and his disciples walked with him because he called them to be with him. You know, one of the things I thought was that he didn't walk on his own. And then, you know, John said, "Ach, no, I don't feel like going on a walk today. I'll stay at home." Hello? He said, there are some people in our church or churches, they say, well, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just so tired of all this walking. They walked as a group, and Jesus waited for them, and they learned a whole lot of things as a result, but they walked. And I thought I'd just show you, there's a map of Israel in the time when Jesus was alive. And so he walked from Jerusalem, which is there, and he walked up all the way up to the north to Caesarea Philippi. You know, Caesarea Philippi was a very important place because that's where Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed it to you." He walked from Tyre in the northwest all the way down to Bethany beyond the Jordan in the southeast. That's a lot of walking. You know, one of the things I found out about this walking thing, there was no shortcut. Oh, that there was a shortcut. You know, if only there was a pill that I could take and I could lose all this weight. Pills don't work. There's no shortcut. There's just this discipline of walking, the discipline of exercising, the discipline of going and going and going. So being a disciple of Jesus is a daily walk with him. There's no saying, okay, I'm only going to be a Sunday Christian. Because if you're only a Sunday Christian, guess what? Jesus has gone far away and you won't see him. I'm so glad one of you heard me here. You know, if you're only a Sunday Christian, you'll get left behind. It's just a word from my sponsor. Daily discovering who he is. If you think that you know him altogether well, you've lost out. Because daily, there's that new experience of who Jesus really is. And there's a daily excitement about it. It's how I relate to him and how he relates to me. It's a time-consuming. It's challenging. Your whole life will change as a result. But it's the most rewarding. Don't forget that. Don't forget that, the rewarding side. Please be aware of this one truth. There's no shortcut to discipleship. And so those disciples walked with Jesus. They learned a great deal. Now, let me give you an example. Gavin very kindly said that some people flew. Others flew with Gavin low-flying. That's what he says. Anyway, but in that period of time, 12 hours, there and back, we were cooped up with Gavin, with Boitumelo, Ron, and myself. Guess what? We learnt a few things about the foibles, the idiosyncrasies, the difficulties that Gavin, as other people have. But it's just this, we were called to learn. You see what we were called to learn. And that's what those disciples were called to do, to be learners. That's what a disciple is a learner. A learner who is on the way to becoming something else. A representative. So Jesus took 3.5 years walking with disciples. And in that period of time, they went from being learners to being his legal representatives here on earth. In that time, they went from being people who were called to where Jesus says, "You are my friends." There was a change in their relationship with Jesus and with one another. Walking with Jesus changes everything. And if you're not in the process of change, it's because you've stood still and you're not walking with him. He calls his disciples, and he called them, you and me, to be with him, just being with him. In that quiet time. In those moments when you've got, what do I do now? Just turning your face towards him and saying, this is a good time to be with you, Jesus. and for you to be with me. Just to be in his presence. What Gavin was trying to share with us this morning, that time of just being in God's presence and soaking up his presence in order that he might explain to us more and more, more intimately, how much he loves us. It's a call to intimacy. I mean, in all that time that those disciples walked with Jesus, they learned so much about Jesus and one another. It was an individual call to individuals to individually walk with him. I can't walk with Jesus on your behalf. I can't walk your walk. You can't walk my walk. It's something I have to do. It's something that you have to do. You need, I need, we all need as a church to be getting into a deeper, intimate relationship with Jesus. I think what happened this morning was brilliant. It's also an invitation. But there's a summons involved in it. There's a kind of authority involved in this. There's a gentleness, but there's also authority. You know, come, walk with me. If they had known at the beginning of the walk what was involved in the walk, I'm sure some of them would have said, no, thank you. Because when Jesus calls each one of us to come and walk with him, he's going to change things about you. And some of us are saying, no, thank you. I don't want to change. I'm happy the way I am. And in fact, Peter, when the chips were down, he said, I'm going back to fishing. And we return to our old habits very quickly unless you're walking with him day by day by day. You know, the amazing thing is that if you neglect this, the gathering together of the saints, you miss it for 1 week, and then the second week it's much easier to miss it. And the third week it's even easier. And the fourth week, that way they won't miss me, so I'll stay away forever. And guess what? You're staying away from Jesus as well. To refuse to walk with Jesus is probably the silliest thing we could ever do. Helen and I were very privileged some years ago to get an invitation to have tea with the Queen here in South Africa. I'm serious. She came to visit. And I got this invitation in the mail to say, the Queen of England requests the pleasure of your company for tea. It was all in gold. I'm serious. I'm not joking. This is dead serious. And I would have been absolutely stupid to refuse that invitation, which was also a summons. Because she wouldn't have had the pleasure of meeting me. me meeting her. I knew there was something wrong. And many of us hear the invitation of Jesus, come walk with me. And the silliest thing is to walk away because eternity is involved in that invitation. We are called by his grace. And it's only by grace that God calls us. It's not because any of us are pretty or beautiful or strong or that God cannot do without us. It's by his grace that he calls us. He calls us to experience his grace on a daily basis in order that we might share his grace with others. And so that this becomes a grace-filled community of people loving one another as they love Jesus. Just look around at the person next to you, not your husband. Look at somebody other than your husband. That this is... This is whom God has called us to share grace with in a more intimate way in this church. This grace, this unmerited, free favor of God flowing to each one of us, it's a day by day walking, walking, walking with Jesus. It's a lifelong experience. You can't say to Jesus, look, I'm taking time out, I've had enough. Just as much as you as a, in a marital relationship, you can't say to one another, look, I'm going out with the boys tonight, just leave me alone and I'll see you next week. It's growing in that intimacy. Can I just say, if you don't love your wife more than you'd loved her on the day that you got married, you're not growing. By the way, you know that husbands, you are to love your wife. It doesn't say wife, love your husband. Now that's an out for you wives. Okay. You're not married. But Jesus says, you, husband, love your wife in exactly the same way that Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. And if you love your wife in that way, your wife will have no problems being submissive to you. So don't say, wife, be submissive to me, then I love you. It will change your entire life, your lifestyle, your values, your attitudes, your motives. It will challenge the very commitment in your life, all the commitments, and it will reveal what is the foundations of your life. This walking with Jesus. So, what did they learn? And this is the most important thing that they learned. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That was the most important thing that they discovered and experienced as they walked with Jesus. For God so loved. Let's go back to that, shall we? Let's try this one. For God so loved Henry that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Roy believes in him, Roy would not perish, but Val would have eternal life. Hello? And as you walk with him, that's what you're going to grow in first and foremost. You're going to grow in the knowledge that he loves you and loves you and loves you. The love of God. There is nothing more important, nothing more important. I can't think of another word. Nothing. You know what the world is crying out for now? Is an experience of this love. And if we as the church are not giving that grace to the world, where are they going to get it from? We have that responsibility of sharing this love of God with the world. And if we're not receiving it on a daily basis, you won't give it on a weekly basis. In fact, you will give it weekly, depending how you spell it. They discovered the very nature of God. They discovered that God is not going to drop them, leave them, and that his nature is love. They discovered that Jesus had this intimate knowledge of God, and he called him Father, and he said, now you call him Father as well. That's an intimacy. And that intimacy is called that word Papa, Abba. And if you find that difficult to say to God the Father, Daddy, Abba. It's something that you haven't grown in. It's something that's still waiting for you. When you walk with Jesus, that's what you're going to discover, that the Father's love for you is like that Father. I had a picture this morning of the children who were born. Remember some of you who gave birth to your child? And they brought the child to you, and you held this child in your arm, and you looked down. And you got that picture of the mother looking down at the child, and just with those love in her eyes towards this child. God wrapping each one of us up as we walk with him, and he looks down at us and says, I love you. I birthed you into my family. I wanted you. I've called you. Before creation, I loved you. Even while you were being formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I saw you being formed there. I want you to be with me. The fatherhood of God is something else that this world is really crying out to understand and experience, because this is an area that so many people don't hear or experience themselves. And the fatherless society If we, the church, are not sharing that with the world, it means that we haven't really experienced it. Or we're deficient because we're not walking with Jesus. They discovered that Jesus is actually God with skin on. Wow. An amazing God. So what this world needs now is that Jesus will reveal to you this love so that you can give it away. Can you do that? Can you be so captivated by this love of God that you cannot stop loving people because the love of God compels you to love others? The love of God is just oozing out of you. When people say things to you, what will come back to them is the love of God. That He loves you unconditionally. That He loves you relentlessly. That He loves you constantly. There isn't a moment in your day that God doesn't love you or is thinking loving thoughts towards you. Every thought of God towards you, and they are more than the sand on the sea, He thinks about you with love. He's unchanging. He doesn't have bad hair days. He doesn't say, oh, well, today's a bad day. I've been busy. I'm sorry. Just leave me alone. He doesn't ever say that to us. And you can depend on His love. That's the love of God. Look at the person next to you. Can you love that person the same way? Just look around you. Look behind you. Can you love this person with that self-same kind of dependable, relentless, unconditional, ongoing love? Because that's what God wants to do in those disciples. They became a community of love. And we need to become a community of love as well. So captivated, so enthralled by the love of God that we as a church reflect the very nature, the character, the motives, the attitudes of God Himself. Has it really conquered you? Or do you stand back and say, I'm impervious. I don't need to answer that call. Really grabbed you. The person next to you. I really want to emphasize this. Without this love for one another, we are just playing church. What did they learn? They learned that I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice that if you remain in me, you will be fruitful. Not maybe. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And a little bit later in that passage, he says, you will even bear more fruit after you've been pruned. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Look around you again at a chair that is empty. That's the fruit that God wants us to bear. And if we remain quiet about this love of God, you know what God does? If we are not obedient and submissive to what He is wanting us to do in this walk with Him, He'll walk past us and find a church that will be obedient to Him. We can still go on playing church, of course. And so what is really needed in this walk with Jesus is an understanding of the lordship of Jesus in my life and in your life. They encountered the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that place where God reigns, where His will is supreme, where His will is carried out, where His will is obeyed. Take time out. Is it true for me, Tony? Is it true for you? What's your name? That God's kingdom reigns in my life, in yours. In exactly the same way that it reigned in Jesus' life. Do you know that Jesus was the first disciple of the Father? Do you really? Because he was saying, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm learning as I'm walking what the Father wants me to say. What I see the Father doing and what I hear the Father saying, that's what I do. I am only here to do the will of the Father. And that's what, when Jesus called his disciples, you will learn what the will of God is. And then we need to obey it. Submit to it. They saw the powerful demonstration of the presence of the kingdom in the here and now. And even the wind and the waves obeyed him. This Jesus. And they kept on saying, who is he? He's not like anybody else we've ever met. Out of his own place of intimacy with the Father, Jesus challenged them to remain in that place of intimacy with himself. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As I'm doing the Father's will, I want you to experience exactly the same thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our modern day thing is to say, I'm so busy. And so, many of the things that keep us in an intimate relationship with him get relegated to the place of expendability. So things like Bible reading, things like prayer, things like gathering together, things like house church, those are things we can just do, put aside. You know, Jesus never missed it. Every Sunday, as was his custom, you read in the scriptures, he was there on a Sunday. Never missed it. Settle in my heart, settle in your heart that you, Jesus, are my Lord and my Savior. So who is Lord in your life, time or Jesus? Even if it means I have to get up earlier in the morning, it's part of that discipline. I want to be with Jesus. I want to. You know, someone said to me this week, the days that I don't spend time with him in the early morning, that day is a waste of time for me. Because if that's when I hear what he wants me to do and gives me the opportunity of bowing down to him and seeing his kingdom come wherever I go, because that's what they experienced with Jesus. They caught the excitement. I mean, a real excitement about being with Jesus. Because they were walking with him, they always, you know when we say to people, have you got something to share what God's been doing? And in a Beckville tunnel, we sit there and look at one another and we say, you know, when you ask those early disciples, have you experienced something good today? They had story after story after story to tell about what Jesus has been doing. There was one occasion when Peter was being threatened with excommunication. They'd been hauled before the leaders, the authorities, the religious people, and said to him, hey, stop talking about this Jesus. Stop it. Here's the passage. He says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. By the way, I heard this week, unschooled means ignorant. Do you know that? That's what that word means, unschooled. They were ignorant. They weren't people like the religious leaders who've been brought up, you know. We are, I was going to say Anglicans, but we're not. you know, we're Vineyard. We're okay. But the only difference was that these people had been with Jesus. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. Wow. Simple thing. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there before them, there was nothing they could say. And that is so true of each one of us. When you spend time with Jesus, you will confound those who would want to ridicule you when you say, may I pray with you? And you see God do the most amazing thing. And then you can come back on Sunday. I've got a testimony to share. And you're going to say to Gavin and whoever's up here, I've got something to share. It's my turn. My turn. And then he goes on. Go back in the passage a little bit further. He says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right to, in God's sight, to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Walking with Jesus gets you to that place where you have got something to share every day of what God, what you've experienced, and how He's relating to you. They learned about sacrifice. Jesus makes this the unique demand on all of us who would want to be His disciples. "I want to be first in your life." It reminds me of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods but me." Jesus said exactly the same thing. If you cannot carry your cross, if you cannot do it daily, you cannot be my disciple. Go and have a look at Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6, and just a couple of verses there. Three times in a very short space of time, it says, "You cannot be my disciple unless I'm first in your life." He wants that first place. He demands that first place. He's not satisfied with anything less. And he never will be. This is what he says in that passage. He says, "What shall you eat and what shall..." Don't worry about these things. "Seek first the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the rule of God." Seek that first, not second, not third, when you've got time, if you've got time. So discipleship is not a part-time occupation. By the way, do you know that Jesus never called for volunteers? Not once did he ask, "Are there any volunteers?" He said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Beware of the trap of becoming so wrapped up in the urgency of the present that you forget about what we are, eternal beings. I was thinking about this last week. I did the memorial service of my mother's best friend, 93 years old. See, my mother must have been about 93 if she still lived, you know. Anyway, what do you say at a 93-year-old memorial service? I mean, memorial service of a 93-year-old, that's better. "I'm only promised 70 years, 80 if I'm strong." And so many people plan for the present but fail to plan for be prepared for eternity. What does this mean? Storing up treasures in heaven. But I'm spending time, you spending time, making sure that you are sending building material up into heaven and saying, "Lord, I want you to build the mansion with what I'm giving you." Right? If you look at 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, each man's work is going to be tested by fire. If it remains, fine. If it gets burnt up like hay, wood, and stubble, there's nothing much to build with hay, wood, and stubble. Am I investing in the present, or am I really preparing for eternity? My life on earth, I try and say this, my life on earth, 70 years, can you see it's about that long? 70 years. Eternity is eternity. Somebody said that the English invented cricket so they could give the English an understanding of what eternity is about. That's just what I thought anyway. So the young man came to Jesus and said to him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus says to him very simply, "Obey the commandments." "I've done all that since I was a young kid." He says, "Well, this is one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me." Very self-same invitation given to that man. But in the answer, the disciples were flabbergasted and said, "Well, what about us? I mean, we've given up everything to follow you." And some of you might be saying that as well. "Look, I've followed you. I'm being followed. I'm..." Walking with Jesus can also become a drudge sometimes. Getting up early every morning, especially in winter, can be a drudge. This day-by-day submission to the discipline of being a disciple walking with Jesus, the discipline of tithing, the discipline of applying the scriptures to your life, the discipline of time with God, day-by-day. You can reduce it to the place of being expendable. Be careful of that. Remember, Jesus has challenged the young man to sell all that he had. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me. When I surrender everything to Jesus, and I mean it, and I live it out day by day, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus is really saying to me. He valued what he had. This young man valued what he had more than what Jesus promised. So Jesus taught them about rewards. So I said Peter was flawed. He was flabbergasted. So where does that leave us? Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones. I don't see a smile. You who have left all things will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Don't be so wrapped up in this present that you forget about eternity. So this walk with Jesus. But many who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. You know, I'm going to go skip this. Jesus prayed this prayer at the end of his ministry. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's an amazing thought. What's going to be on your tombstone one day? Or what is the minister going to say at your funeral one day? Tony did the ministry, did the work, was obedient, was faithful, did walking with Jesus, and brought glory to Jesus. There was a song many years ago. It's not how you start, but how you finish. Many of us are good starters, but in the scriptures, in the seven letters that Jesus writes to the churches in Revelation, he says, he who overcomes. It's repeated again and again and again. He who overcomes to those different churches. But it means he who continues to the end, faithful to the end, who doesn't give up. Jackie Pullinger said this, we're going to feel stupid for eternity if we waste this life. I thought that was very, very good. And then she also went on to say this, Jesus wants disciples who have soft hearts and hard feet. But what has become of the church is that it has hard hearts and soft feet. I just want to remind you that's where we're going. Let's pray. I'm going to spend some time praying with you and for you. First and foremost, if you've heard that invitation of Jesus this morning to say, come, follow me. And you've never responded to Jesus before, you've never heard that invitation, but you'd like to this morning to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I know it's going to be a hard drudge. I know it's going to be a day by day. I know it's going to be a walk, but I want to follow Jesus because he has promised me more than what I'm going to give. He has got so much more, and I want what he has. Would you just say, Lord Jesus, in your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I want to respond to your invitation, to your summons, to come and walk and follow you. So I ask you, Lord, come, live your life in me. Come walk with me. Let me walk with you. day by day. And Lord, I want to do that day by day. Lord, I don't know exactly what that means, but Lord, the promises far outweigh the sacrifice. And I want you, Lord Jesus. I have a sense that there are some people who've really felt it difficult to be a day-by-day Christian, and you've struggled. But today you've heard something new, and you just want to just say, Lord Jesus, I want to commit myself again to being a day-by-day disciple of yours. Lord, forgive me for walking away. Forgive me for being spasmodic in my response to you. Forgive me for being weak. And I thank you that you do. But Lord, I ask you today, please fill me with your Spirit. Flood me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Flood me with your Spirit. Empower me, enable me by your Spirit to be a faithful walker with Jesus. If you've responded to any one of those things, if you want to say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit, there'll be some people standing on this side over here. If you'd go to them, I'll come and stand this side. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you've invited him this morning, just come and talk to me over here, please. But if you have any other need, there will be people on duty standing in the front here. If you have a need for healing or financial problems or relationship problems or work problems, whatever that is, it doesn't, whatever the problem or the need might be, there will be people on duty praying here. But one last question. What has the Spirit of God been saying to you this morning? Don't go away without somebody praying with you. If you say, I need to respond to God in some way this morning, there will be people here to pray with you. Let them pray with you. When two or three agree in prayer, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. If you agree, come and say, look, pray with me. Agree with me in prayer in this area. I ask this in Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Tea and coffee. If you're a new person, please go past our welcome area there and just grab what they've got for you. Tea and coffee is outside. Continue the fellowship. Share with one another what God has been saying to you.